Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord.
Anointed One,
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for bringing us thus far, Lord, today. For this is a day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, that this is like honey on our lips. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your spirit is like water to our souls. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Bible study on tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord,
thank you,
for your revelation through your word. We eagerly and expectantly receive it.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We bless your name today, oh God. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord,
yes,
for everyone on the call.
Thank
every
you.
Family represented, oh God. We ask that you would meet each and every one and their families at the point of their needs and then give them super abundantly above in Jesus'
yes.
name. We thank you, Lord, for making every crooked place straight, every rough place plain, exalting every valley and every mountain and hill, making low, and letting your glory be revealed in their lives, in our lives. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
As we continue in the study of the gifts of your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Well, thank you, Lord.
Reveal even the more to us.
Yes.
As we share. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We bless your name.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. And Satan, we serve you notice right now. We curse you from the root and command you be bound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again, Lord, we give you the glory, honor, praise, and the power. We bless your name. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Everyone said.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. I just want to make a quick announcement. I know that a lot of people trying to hurry up who had this last semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning. Hallelujah. We've given you a Christmas present. All the work.
Praise the Lord.
Final term project, the term paper is not due until the 3rd of January. I should hear a couple of hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
So praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to share that with you. And
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise hallelujah. We began a series last week, and it was memorable. The 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and our text is in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And the first verse says, I would not have you ignorant. And see, a lot of us think that ignorance is a bad word. It's negative. Really, it really isn't. It's neutral. Depending on the context, however,
uh-huh.
As far as I know, nobody but God knows everything. Is that right?
Amen.
The first pillar of wisdom is to have a coachable, teachable spirit.
Amen.
Because we really don't know it all.
Right.
Amen.
God, for this opportunity to know more about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Notice I said the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit in you actually operates the gift. You don't turn it off and on like you turn off a speaker. But the Holy Spirit in you
yes.
operates the gift. And there are 9 gifts. You got the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the inspiration gifts. the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment of spirits. Word of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
supernatural knowledge of an upcoming event or happening. A word of knowledge is a supernatural knowledge of a past or current situation condition. Discernment of spirits is discernment.
I can hear them now.
Beg your pardon? Did somebody say something?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, excuse me. That was just the gentleman that I invited on the line, and he was trying to get on, and he couldn't. So I did a conference call, and he wanted to make sure he was on the line.
Well, you
have to
praise the Lord. Again, the revelation gifts, they reveal something.
Right.
And that's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discernment of spirit. Discernment of spirit is the knowledge of the motivation, the spirit behind of what people are talking. It's not the gift of suspicion. It's the discernment of the spirit, the motivation, action, conversation, or what they're doing. That's the revelation gift. And then today we're going to be dealing with the power gifts. Power gifts do something.
Right.
You have the gifts of healings, you have the working of miracles, and you have supernatural faith. Okay, so if everyone is ready, we're again going to do the same thing we did last week. At the end of each audio, we're going to deal with 5 minutes of sharing of questions and answers. And our timekeeper is Pastor Peachesburg. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. At the end of the 5 minutes, we're going to get into another of the teachings of the power gifts. There are three power gifts. So we're going to deal with that. And of course, we talked to you about the inspiration gifts. Inspiration gifts say something. That's prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The inspiration gifts say something. So today we're dealing with the power gifts. And, of course, our leader in this is Neil Reyes. Okay. All hearts are clear. Minds are clear.
To the unsaved. We've already covered a few of those, and we have some more coming up. But as we grow in these gifts, the reason why it's so important for us to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit is because this is the operation and ministry of the Holy Spirit through these gifts. Now, as we talk about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we've talked about is that this is meant for the direct edification of the church. Edification simply means the building up of the church. One of the things I want to go into is our foundational scripture that we've used on this, and I'm going to put it on the screen so you can read along with us. This is going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to cover the full verse so that way you understand exactly what we're covering. So if you want to follow us, we're going to be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1, and then we're skipping down through verses 4 through 11. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul teaching. The reason why I think that's so important is the original 12 apostles learned directly from Jesus because they walked around with him and learned directly from him. The Apostle Paul came after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means that everything he learned, he had to learn directly through the Holy Spirit. I always think that's an important thing to state because the same Holy Spirit that led and guided him is the same Holy Spirit that's leading and guiding us today. Let's go ahead and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, if we were to study what the word ignorant means, sometimes that's meant as an insult within our society today. But the word ignorant simply means not knowing or not understanding. You know, it tells us in God's word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. In other words, for a lack of knowing, for a lack of understanding. We don't want the body of Christ perishing because of a lack of understanding regarding the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is the ministry and operation of the Holy Spirit meant to operate through man. Now, he gives it to who he wills, but we're going to talk about that a little more. Let's go ahead and continue reading. We're going to go 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to skip down to verse 4. Let's read. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Mm-hmm. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So as we talk about what the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are, that is the list of what all the nine manifestation gifts are. As we break each one down, which we started last week and will continue through the end of this week, we're breaking down how each gift operates. One of the things I want to point out in remembrance, though, if you haven't been with us, is that many times man likes to label, or humanity likes to label things. And oftentimes within the church, people get caught up with trying to label a specific gift that was operating at any given time. In other words, we treat things like they're in boxes. And so if someone's operating within the church in a gift, they want to pull out that box and say, this is the gift that we're operating. But they treat it as though it was only the gift that was operating. One of the things that's important to know is that when a gift is operating, a gift of the Holy Spirit is operating, usually it's several gifts working in tandem with each other, complementing each other, supporting each other. So when we listen and we hear, yes, there may be one gift that really comes up to the scene as a primary gift operating at that point, but it doesn't mean it was operating alone. Usually these gifts operate in tandem. I think that's so important to say, because one of the things the Word tells us is that no one can do anything to earn these gifts. It says the Holy Spirit gives them to who he wills. But there are things we can do to grow, to position ourselves to be available to receive them. And as you receive these gifts, one of the things you need to know is that it's not a use it or lose it kind of deal, but the more you operate, the more you're willing and obedient to operate in these gifts as the Holy Spirit prompts you, the more you're found faithful with that, the more that gift will grow in you. And the more that gift grows in you, other gifts will grow around it as well. To break down for you what the gift of miracles is, just so you understand, a gift of miracles are what we consider a miracle in God's society, or for God, I should say, in heaven, is just a normal everyday occurrence. Okay, so what we consider a miracle for God is a normal everyday occurrence. Basically, a miracle is a supernatural occurrence beyond our natural understanding or ability. In other words, a supernatural occurrence beyond our natural comprehension. That is what a basic miracle is, okay? Or that's the basic foundation of what a miracle is. A miracle is also something that oftentimes bends or completely operates past the natural laws of this world. So in other words, if I were holding, let's say, a book in my hand right now, and I were to let it go, what would happen to that book? It would drop. Why? Because there's a natural law of gravity that says that that book is going to be pulled down to the surface of the earth. It doesn't matter what it is, whether I'm holding a book or whether I'm holding a feather. The weight does not matter. The law of gravity, it's a natural law, says that has to happen. However, if someone were praying as they were led by God, and if they were led to tell that book to suspend in air, then that book suspending in air would bend or surpass our natural laws within this world. That being said, that is something we would consider a miracle. Now, someone might say, well, why would God want you to suspend a book in the air? I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you an example of what it means to bend our natural laws within this world. Now, that being said, there are many, many, many miracles described in the Bible. Many miracles. We've already talked about several of them within our other teachings. And one of the things we said is that most of the gifts operate in tandem with each other. One of the examples I like best, or two of the examples I like best out of the Bible, the first one is the story of Moses. If you know the story of Moses, when God turned around and led him to go back and speak to Pharaoh so that he would release the Hebrews, you know, the Israelites, so that they could get out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for quite a while. As they were, Pharaoh turned around and was hardened his heart and said, no, 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 and plague after plague came on him. Finally, he acquiesced and said, yes, fine, take them. And Moses turned around and led the people out of Egypt. But as they were led them out of Egypt, eventually Pharaoh changed his mind and pursued and chased them. And as he did, they came to a point where they reached the Red Sea and they had no way of getting out of there because the army was at their back. So God turned around and led Moses to turn around and pray, and he turned around and they parted the Red Sea. In other words, the Red Sea split in half. There is no way to describe that as anything other than a miracle. Yes, there was a gift of faith that was operating as well with that, which was unlimited faith that allowed that to operate. That was a supporting gift, but it was the gift or working of miracles that split that sea open. Another time, you know, oftentimes people think that the water only split one time within the word. Another time that that's talked about is when the prophet Elijah was walking with Elisha. Elijah with the J was the prophet, and the other prophet, Elisha, that was the Elijah was Elisha's mentor, okay? And so they're walking along, and they approach the Jordan River, and one of the things is they needed to cross the other side. So Elijah, the prophet, takes off his coat, he rolls it up, and he slaps the water with it. And when he slaps the water split in half, and the Bible tells us they walked across on dry land. What was that? That was a working of miracles. Now, anyone can take off their coat. It doesn't matter what kind of coat it is, whether if it's nylon or whether if it's leather, it doesn't matter. And you can roll that thing and smack the water as hard as you can. And you may create a good splash, but you're not going to create the water to split unless it's a working of miracles at the divine instruction of God led by the Holy Spirit. Guys, when we're talking about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's so important to understand how those gifts operate. And when miracles operate in general, sometimes people think it just happened, don't be surprised if God had someone praying for you that you didn't know about. You know, there are many times that as believers we will pray for people that we will never meet this side of heaven because God wakes us up in the middle of the night or he prompts us during the middle of the day to pray for someone or a specific situation, and maybe we don't even know or understand who that person is. But when we're obedient, you know, one of the things you've heard me say, and I heard this from Terry Savelle Foy, is that someone's always waiting on the other side of your obedience. When we're obedient with the things God has entrusted to us, when we're obedient with the gifts he's given us, great things can happen for the body of Christ. Guys, I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by and grow with us today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. In addition, follow us on our social media and check in with us. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which makes it easy for you to share this feed with other friends of yours. In addition to that, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Guys, if these teachings are meaning something to you, we ask that you share them with the people around you. That way you can help them get fed, and it opens up common talking points for you to be able to minister and to witness to them. In other words, with these teachings, we're running a race. And when you watch this teaching, we're handing the baton off to you. So we're handing it off to you. That way you can turn around and post it on your social media and carry the next leg of that race and start ministering to those around you. Guys, if you have things that you would like to be taught on or subjects that you're interested in, we invite you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com and go ahead and go to our contact page and submit those to us. Those are things that I'll turn around and be in prayer about before the Lord and teach as I'm led. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. Okay, timekeeper, Pastor Peaches, are you there? Pastor Peaches?
Huh?
Are you there? Timekeeper, got it. I need you to stop the time.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. And now it's open for any comments or questions about what was shared about a working of miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any comments? Again, that was Neil Reyes. NEALREYES. You can reach him on YouTube, or you can go to neilreyes.com. Any questions or comments?
I
can't hear you. Can you speak up?
It's operated by the Holy Spirit that's within you.
Okay. And in other words, you
now
got
that little phone.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I kind of missed that little part because I was trying to get somebody on the line. They was on the line, and they need help because they're handicapped, and they need help, and then somehow or another we got disconnected. So I just missed a little bit portion of that first part.
Okay. Okay, but you can go back to, you can go to YouTube on your phone or on your computer and put in Neil Reyes and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these teachers will come up, or you can go to neilreyes.com on the internet and you can select a teaching. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I understood him to say that the gifts can work together. More than one gift can work together, depending on the situation that God gives you. And the more you use that gift and God can trust you, he'll give you more.
He'll give you, yes. And you'll get more confident in it, just like we were talking about last week. You know, a word of wisdom and word of knowledge. The more you use it, the more you'll feel comfortable. And God will see, oh, you're faithful in doing this. You're not afraid. You're going to step out when the Holy Spirit prompts you to say or do something, then he's going to trust you with more. And again, very important, you don't just have one gift. One gift will show up. Like Neil shared, there are going to be some supporting gifts. There may be one major one that shows up, but there are going to be some supporting gifts that show up as well.
Ooh.
So that I just want to let you know.
Present.
A lot of us have already been working in these gifts and didn't realize it.
Yes.
As we begin to understand what they are, we'll be saying, oh, I've been using that gift for years. I didn't realize it was a gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
Yes.
And the title of this portion was Gift of What? Wisdom or not on the or miracles. Miracles, right?
And miracles is a
okay, gift of miracles.
Manifestation. Something against the laws of nature, you know, is a supernatural. Like Neil mentioned, you're dropping a book. You see the book going down, it goes up.
Oh, wow.
That's a miracle. The Red Sea opening up, that's a miracle. Turning water into wine, that's a miracle. Raising folk from the dead, that's a miracle.
Thank
people
you.
Being healed of cancer, that's a miracle. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Supernatural intervention of the divine nature of God. How many minutes we got left?
7:24, 10:05, 10:08. One more.
Okay. Anyone else? Any question, comment before we go to
this? This is Sister Angie. Sorry I'm late. I just came on.
Okay.
Good to hear you.
All right.
This is Sister Angie. I just came on. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right. Okay. Anybody else have a question about that video, that audio? Okay. The next one is coming up now.
Before we go make shoes, unlike
the
brands out there, this is a natural canvas. This is made.
Okay.
That when people talk about the gift of faith, well, it's understandable that they may not know exactly what that is. And the reason being is because the Bible talks from cover to cover about faith through the entire thing. So one of the things to understand is this. Let's talk about, first of all, what it's not. The gift of faith as described in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the things you have to remember is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant for the building up or edification of the body. Some of these gifts also have external witnessing power as well. With this particular gift, this gift is a supernatural impartation of God operating through you. What this gift is not, is this gift is not a natural kind of faith. Everyone in this world, whether you are a believer in Christ or not, has natural faith. Now, some people might try to challenge me on that comment and say, like, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell you. Do you ever question whether or not the sun's going to rise every morning? No. Why? Because whether you would label it as faith or not, you have faith that the sun is going to rise every morning. That's a natural kind of faith. Now, in the Bible, we also hear about salvation faith, or we hear about faith in God. Salvation faith would be the faith that saves, and obviously that's a supernatural impartation from God, but salvation faith is a type where you believe that you can receive salvation through Christ Jesus. Now, at the same time, there's also faith in God where you can believe in the Word of God and the things of God, and those are strong things, and as a believer, we're called to walk by faith. In fact, it tells us in the Word, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. It even tells us that without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. But the gift of faith is an entirely different kind. Mm-hmm. The gift of faith is a supernatural faith that operates from God directly through you. This is sometimes known as an unlimited faith. And this type of faith is designed to accomplish things that are considered impossible to man. In other words, when man comes to a point when something happens and they have no way of explaining it, there's a good chance that supernatural faith operated at that moment. In other words, when we're talking about outcomes and things of that nature. Now, one of the things to talk about, and sometimes people might say, well, it kind of sounds like you're talking about miracles. Well, we're going to get into that tomorrow. But one of the things you have to understand is that the gifts of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit usually operate in tandem with each other, meaning that it's usually not just one gift operating by itself. There's usually a couple different gifts operating, supporting each other at the same time. So that's very important to understand as you're learning and growing in what the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are. I want to get right into the Word and show you where this is at. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going straight to verse 9. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to verse 9. This is actually where it gives us the full list of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, or what are referred to as the nine manifestation gifts. Let's read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. When we talk about faith, again, this is not just faith in God. This is not salvation faith. This is called the gift of faith. This is supernatural faith. This is when God operates in you to accomplish something that is not conceivable or possible to man. I'm going to give you a couple quick examples. There is lots of examples in the Word I can give you. There is lots of scripture I can give you. But to condense it and just simplify it, I'm going to give you some examples out of the Bible, and then I'm going to share one out of my own life that happened a while back. Now, the gift of faith. One of the gifts of faith that I would talk about are operations of the gift of faith. If we go back to Jesus, is when he turned the water into wine. You know, he's at a feast, he's at a wedding feast, and they end up running out of wine. And so his mother ends up telling him, go to ask Jesus and do whatever he tells you. She gave him a simple instruction, do whatever he tells you. So Jesus told him what to do, and by his faith, he was able to turn the water into wine. Another example would be when they were out ministering to the crowd of 5,000. In fact, it was estimated to be over 5,000. And they turn around, and they don't have any food for them. And the apostles asked, should we run into town and go buy some food and come back for them? You know, and he said no, and he turned around, he prayed over the fish and the loaves of bread, and all those people ate, okay? Another example will be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they're in the fiery furnace, when Nebuchadnezzar tells them that they have to bow down and worship his image, they refuse to do so, and they turn around and by faith know that God would rescue them from any punishment that would be there. They even tell the king more or less, hey, if you want to throw us in your fiery furnace, go ahead, but it's going to embarrass you, don't do that. the Nebuchadnezzar throws them in. Anyways, it says that this fire was so hot that the people who threw them in actually turned around and caught on fire because the heat was so intense. And as he was watching them, he asked, did we not throw three in there, because there was a fourth one in there and they were dancing with them. When they came out, they were not burned. They didn't even smell smoky because it was a supernatural gift of faith that was operating. We could go on and on and on and share about this gift and about the miraculous works that God worked through the gift of faith. I want to share with you about how this operated in my life at one time that I want to share with you. And I want to share this particular story with you because as I was prepping for this study, it was something God showed me. Now, what I'm about to share with you, you may not believe, and that's okay, okay? I mean, whether you believe it or not doesn't make it any less true. The fact is, your unbelief in it doesn't turn around and take us back to the past and erase what happened. The fact is, this happened, and I'm going to share it with you. And the people that I've shared it with in the past, especially in teachings, has really ministered to them. In fact, there's a youth pastor I can think of right now that was in a class I was teaching one time. And yes, I didn't realize he was in there, but later on he came up to me and told me, he said, man, this is months later. He said, that teaching you taught, man, it impacted me so much. And I said, what teaching are you talking about? And he was talking about the story I'm getting ready to tell you. And he said, I always think about that. So I want to share this story with you. Years and years ago, when I was part of a church back when we lived in Albuquerque, I used to be part of the sports ministry. And one of the things that I did is I ran a co-ed soccer team. And the co-ed soccer team that we had was filled with men and women, but we weren't part of a church league. We were part of the city leagues. And what we would do is we use this as an outreach. First of all, we outreach to the people who would join from the church. You had to be a member of our church in order to play. And in addition to that, we'd have Bible studies and we'd build up fellowships and things of that nature, and it really helped those people come together. Any type of a life group or cell group you can get part of will build you up in friendship and build you up in your church where you're at. We started producing people who were serving left and right. So if you're a pastor and you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out how to get more people to serve, start developing some of these groups and encourage your leaders to impress upon them, first through example, but also through word, to encourage these people to serve. Anyways, as we're doing this, we used to go out to the leagues. And as we'd go out to the leagues, we'd play a game against whoever we were going to play. And at the end of the game, we would turn around and we would send an ambassador from our team to go over to the other team and let them know that we were going to get together in prayer. And if they had any needs that we could lift up for them, we'd be honored to do so. And you'd get some different people come and say, yeah, I really need this or something. And then we'd invite them, if you'd like, you're welcome to come and pray with us. Well, one day during the summer, during what was known as the monsoon season in Albuquerque, it's towards the end of the summer, I'm driving home one day, and I live over on the west side, and where our game was way over on the east side over by the mountains. Well, we had some really bad storms that day, and it wasn't uncommon for games to get canceled in the summer due to bad weather. One, because of the rain, but two, because of the lightning threats and how it could travel. So I'm driving home one day, and as I'm there, the Lord starts ministering to me, and he starts speaking to me heavily. And one of the things is, as I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight, he tells me, look out to the left and look at the weather. So when I looked out to the left towards the weather, I'm looking towards where we're supposed to play field. And it is dark. You can't see the mountains. It is raining bad over there. He said, I want you to speak to the weather. And I said, what? He said, I want you to speak to the weather. You want me to speak to the weather? He goes, yes. I want you to command the weather to move out so that you can have your game. Well, it had already been raining for hours, and so by condition fields, for field conditions, they could have canceled the game just by that. It had been raining for a few hours. So he looked at me, and I'm like, well, what do you mean? He goes, son, do what I told you. He said, there is someone who is counting on you who needs to hear from your team today when you go to play. And if you don't command that weather to get out of the way, the game's going to get canceled, and that person's going to miss out on a life-altering word they need to hear.
Mm.
I said, okay. So I repented, and I turned around, and I mustered up everything I could. And I had never prayed over something of that magnitude before. But I remembered where God commanded the weather or where Jesus commanded the weather in the Bible, and so I knew that same power operated through me. So in Jesus' name, I started speaking against that weather, and I took authority over it, and I commanded it to move out in Jesus' name, and I rebuked any interference from our game being canceled that day. I'm not going to go through everything I prayed, but basically I exercised my faith and exercised it to get this thing out of the way. When I did that, what I didn't realize what was happening at the time is that the gift of faith was operating through me. I had a supernatural, unlimited faith. It was God doing the work. It wasn't me, but he did have to flow it through me. And he did it through my words. Faith without works is dead. And I allowed that faith to operate through me. And when that faith came out, it did something that man cannot explain, and it did something that's considered impossible to humanity. It turned around and moved the weather out. Well, fast forward in the story, I want to let you know that when I showed up, it was raining all over that part of town. However, there was a pocket, almost like a donut, that was circled around that field. And that pocket had no rain. It was maybe lightly drizzling, but it wasn't raining there. It was maybe just from the wind blowing around from the other spots around it. But it was dry. There was no rain there. And as there was no rain, the refs were shocked. The players for both teams were shocked. And we played a game and had fun. And at the very end, we invited the other team to pray with us. And their whole team came over, which wasn't common for that to happen. And we got a big circle at the middle of the field. And before I started, I said, I want to share something with you that the Lord had for me to share. And the Lord protruded to give me a word of knowledge. Remember, I told you the gifts often operate in tandem with each other. And I gave a word of knowledge, and I didn't know he was going to share all of this, but I did tell them what happened earlier in the day. I said, you guys look at the weather around us. God commanded me earlier today to command the weather to clear out. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's up to you. That's what I told the team. I said, but if you look around you, you know the weather in Albuquerque, and you know it's impossible for this weather to have cleared out without there being some type of divine intervention. That being said, God has a spoken word for someone here. There is someone here who is struggling deeply within their marriage today. In fact, you're so lost that you don't know how to make it work, and you're on the brink of divorce. But you know this is going to alter and change the course of you and your family forever. You want to make it work, but you have no idea how to do so. You've been seeking some type of help, and you've been even asking whether or not if God is real, and if he is, to please show up. He wants you to know he loves you and he is real. And if you will let him take the wheel, he'll take control of this situation and guide you through it so that you can have a better outcome. He will erase this situation. He will unscramble the eggs of the situation. Now, that being said, if that speaks to you, then in private, when we're done praying, I want you to come to me and I want to continue to speak with you. And that was it. But I will tell you that that had such witnessing power. And the people, as they're looking around at the weather, they knew there was no way of denying what God had done and the words that I had said, believer and non-believer, okay? I mean, there were a lot of unbelievers there. And as they did that, we started having healings within that prayer circle left and right. They started saying, I need prayer for this. I need prayer for this. I'm sick over this. Can you pray over my mom for this? Can you pray over this? And our team as a whole started praying over them, and we saw God's mighty hand move that day, but it operated through an act of obedience. You know, it tells us that if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So we turned around and we did that. Well, we finished and concluded that prayer circle. I went over back to the street to my truck, and as I'm getting in my truck, getting ready to change my shoes, I feel someone tap on my shoulder, and I turn around, and it was a brother there, and the moment he looked at me, he broke down in tears. And he said, brother, I know without a shadow of doubt I'm that guy who you were talking about, because the words you said were spoken came exactly out of my mouth earlier today, and I really need some help. I didn't even think this game was going to happen. He knew there was no way for God to deny God in this situation, from the weather, the way it had moved out, everything. And so he turned around, and he said, and it's not like the weather cleared out all around the whole part of town. Some would say it just cleared up. It was just a pocket within the middle. That was it. It was just a pocket. It was raining hard all around us. It was almost like it was just around that field, to be honest with you. So we turned around, and I prayed with him. And he turned around and told me that him and his wife were on the brink of divorce, that they had lost trust within their relationship. Something had gone wrong. He didn't know where. He had even said that she was parked at the very end of the street watching them because she had no trust in him, that she was even following him to all everywhere he went, work, games, whatever, because she thought he was cheating on her. And it was just getting worse and worse. And this brother was lost. So I prayed with him. The first thing we did is I helped him get his life right with the Lord. He dedicated his life to the Lord. He got saved that day. And then we prayed over him that God would turn that situation around. And I gave him some advice and some instruction that the Lord gave me. I want to let you know that I didn't see that gentleman for quite some time. But 1 year later, the gentleman walked up to me. He came up and looked completely different. His eyes were filled with love. You could tell that there was peace there. His whole countenance had changed. And he said, Brother Neil, he goes, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I do. How is it going? I go, I thought of you. How are you doing? He said, I want you to know my marriage turned completely around. In fact, not only did it turn completely around, my marriage is so good, I never realized marriage could be this good. He goes, I want to let you know that immediately when I got home that day, God went to work in my family. Things changed. My wife and I started working on stuff. And as we did, we even started going to church regularly. He told me they got plugged into a great church, a great local church, and they had changed their lives. And they were now, they went from destruction and devastation and death. They went to marriage prosperity. Guys, I'm going to tell you that this is how the gift of faith operates. When God prompts you to operate in it, it starts with obedience. But when you're obedient with it, a supernatural flood or unlimited power can operate through you. It's God operating through you. So if God impresses something on you, don't let your mind stand in the way as a limitation of whether or not it can happen. Don't reason whether or not it can happen or why it should happen. Just simply trust in God. Had I ignored that call that day, there's no telling where that family would have been now, but I can say with certainty they would have been divorced and they would have been broken. But instead, they're operating. This is a man. There's a salvation that came out of this. There were many salvations that day that happened. There were many healings that day that happened, all because of the obedience for one person through one person. And the results are echoing into the future. You've heard me say this before. God knows, or let me rephrase this. Man knows how many seeds may come out of one apple, but only God knows how many apples can come from one seed. Mm-hmm. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com. Also, follow us on our social media. We ask that you subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can share it on your social media. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. In addition, if there's areas that you're hoping to hear about or subjects you'd like to hear about, feel free to swing by our website and on our Contact Us page. Shoot us a quick form. Those will come to me. I'll go before the Lord and pray about them, and we'll be led to teach on them as he leads us to. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord, and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. Pastor Peaches, timekeeper. Jesus is Lord. Yes. Give us 5 minutes. Hallelujah. That was refreshing. The supernatural faith. And Romans 12:3 talked about we all are given the measure of faith. But this is the gift of faith from the Holy Spirit, a something super abundantly above. And again, it works in tandem. As you can see from the examples that Neil gave, it works with gifts of miracles and gifts of healing and all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, the gifts work together. Hallelujah. Any questions, comments, reflections?
So you hear from God. And you're scared, but you go on and do it anyway. God uses you in that moment.
Yes.
When things come together according to his will, it encourages you and makes you strong for the next time.
Praise the Lord. If you have other conversations, y'all, if y'all can mute your phone so it won't interrupt, because hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, there was a situation where we had service on Wednesday. By the way, thank you, Elder QB, for sharing that. The forecaster says severe thunderstorm tonight. And see, a lot of people, especially older people, believe you shouldn't be on the phone when there's lightning and thunder and all that kind of stuff. But something, you know, the unction of the Holy Spirit said to pray that that storm don't happen. You know, that we get the service in. And they called for a lot of rain, thunderstorms, all kinds of stuff going on. And I had nerve enough to pray. And you remember that, don't you, Pastor Peter?
Yes.
And not only And then it wait, the storm, it never rained that night. It didn't rain at all. It just went to stepping. You have that authority in Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit prompts you to do that. That sounds crazy. That sounds, see, faith, this kind of faith, supernatural faith, is what I call crazy faith.
Yes.
In other words, faith to believe that the sun's going to shine tomorrow, that's not crazy faith. Crazy faith is you walking on top of the water. Crazy faith, hallelujah, if you changing the course of a hurricane, let it make a U-turn, you know, about face, a right turn, a left turn, to move towards the sea so it won't, you know, hurt the population. That's crazy faith. That's what supernatural faith is. That's the gift of faith. Any questions, comments?
Can one turn into the other, Pastor?
Can one turn into the other?
Can one just regular faith turn into supernatural?
Well, you know, I guess that's an interesting question. I don't know, because they're really two different things. It's like two different cats. You have faith that when you get out to the car and put the key in the ignition or push the button, then the car come on. That's regular faith.
Right.
But supernatural faith is when they done stole your engine and you put the key in and you driving home to be protected from the thief.
Amen.
That's supernatural faith. I guess in a way it can, you know, but I don't know. You know, that's one of those things that God has to deal with. But again, the Holy Spirit operates the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I'm going to show you the gift of spirit. Now, I'm going to show you a gift of this or that healing right now. No, it's going to take the unction of the Holy Spirit to say, oh, now. You hear some mighty men of God say, well, I believe God is going to move tonight, but I just got to wait on him. And they'll be going through service. Then all of a sudden, they'll stop and say, there's a sister in the back that has been diagnosed with cancer. Come up here right now. Because God said he want to heal you right now. That's operating by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit operates the gifts. They're not, well, you can turn it on, off, and on. Like a spigot. You turn the water on and off. You know, that's you. And that may be your natural faith, as you could say. You have faith that if you drop a can or if you drop a dozen of eggs, you got faith that some of those eggs going to crack when it hits the floor. You understand? Because that's natural. But if you drop, well, I'm going to leave that alone. The bottom line is that a supernatural faith, the gift of faith, is crazy faith. Walking across over a river, walking across the Chesapeake Bay on dry land. In other words, the water done parted. You had faith to believe that could happen, and then it did happen. That's a miracle, walking along with your crazy faith. But anyway, any other questions? How many minutes we got?
Oh, wow. Oh, wait a minute. 48, 49,
51. Someone else have a question?
1 minute.
You said 1 minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. Any other question quickly?
So we encourage you to step on out and trust God.
Trust
God. But you got to hear God first.
Yes. The just shall live by faith, but supernatural faith, and that's the faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he operates that. We operate the ordinary faith. He operates, the Spirit operates the crazy faith. Jesus, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
He's a willing vessel, right?
Yeah.
My name is Amy, and I'm a service advisor here at Jim Coleman Infinity. The process of setting up a service appointment, either one.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today, we're continuing our series on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about diverse tongues. Get ready.
Okay, that's the wrong one. All right, let's see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. see if we can find it. Let me pause. Pastor Peaches, you can entertain some more questions while I try to find this, the teaching on gifts of healing.
Any more questions or comments?
Main thing is don't be afraid. Fears
yes,
of the devil.
You are, George Myers say, do it afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Do it afraid. And sometimes we want to step out here, but we're scared of embarrassment. We're scared of, well, what if it don't work? Or what if that's me saying that? Or what if that's my flesh wanting to move or whatever? But I believe God will see and he knows the motive of the heart. And he's not going to let you have egg on your face.
He won't disappoint.
That's right. And he's the one that's going to perform it anyway, not us.
He makes the bill, he's going to pay for it.
What did you say?
If he makes the bill, he's going to pay for it.
Amen.
He go out there, he won't leave you.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. This builds you up, makes you strong.
Yes.
But the devil is under your foot. But people are in bondage, and we have the answer to that. Break that yoke.
That's right. And sometimes we may want to see something instantaneously, and it may not happen instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pastor Peaches?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're ready now.
All righty.
For the worship of music.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
The Spirit. And one of the things we talked about is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the nine manifestation gifts, are actually broken down into three categories of three. You have your revelation gifts, you have your power gifts, and your inspiration gifts. Last week we covered the revelation gifts, which consisted of a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Today, we're continuing our study on the power gifts. Last week on Friday, we covered the gift of faith. Today, we're covering the working of miracles, and tomorrow, we'll be discussing gifts of healing. As we discuss these gifts, sometimes people wonder why these gifts are relevant in today's society or why they're relevant today.
Did he say the working of miracles?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, let me keep on talking. I'm trying to get the right one. Okay.
And the enemy, and all while you're trying, if you see a need in church or God drops something in your spirit, the enemy going to fight your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Make you think, oh, that's you. That person don't. There ain't nothing going on with that person, or this or that or whatever.
Give me these three again. Go ahead.
And sometimes we'll try and figure it out logically in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
What God has dropped in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Something that he may speak to you, there a need in somebody's life, and something that you need to pray about or pray with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will try and bring all this fear and doubt, and no, ain't nothing going on with them person. That person, that's just you, you know. And try and make
you move
mentally in your mind, you know, to keep you away from moving out and trusting God.
He's trying to steal from you,
right? Just like you say, you have to do it. You got to do it anyway.
And that's just like, you know, a couple of people that I'll be talking to and try to get them on a prayer line or, and they, I guess this is some of the problems that I guess people run across, but they want to get to know the Lord, but then, what, you know, like you say, stay to come in and fill their brains with things that are not true, and then think about it, and then they be like, no, that's okay, let me think about it, you know, or no, that's okay, I'm not interested. But either way around, whether you want to think about it or whether or not you're interested, you know, because I have one person like that now, but the good Lord is telling me not to give up on him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, in a way, he'd be really more interested if, you know, a family member wasn't around or when they are not home.
Uh-huh.
And he feel like that he can get the best knowledge then,
yeah,
you know, and things like that. And so then that creates for me, you know, something else, because then I'm thinking, look, I'm telling you, and I told him this, the Lord has sent me to you. He lives in Virginia. And I said, the Lord has sent me to you. You had a stroke. You can just barely talk. You can just barely write. But he has shown me that you can get better, you know. But you have to trust and believe in him. And just like tonight, me and him was on the line. Everything was fine. But then that person walked in and, you know, Satan let everything go haywire, you know. But again, I'm not going to give up on him. You know, I'm not going to give up on him, you know, because like I said, there's part of him that wants it. He wants it real bad, to be honest. But then when you're living with someone else and, you know, they might have a different belief. I don't know what the situation is, but they might have a different belief, and that'll stop you just as well.
But that person is just staying prosty for it, Sister Camilla. Continue to stay in prosperity for that person until God clears the pathway for that person and God builds that person up in his inner man to be able to stand up for what he knows that he needs. And God will clear the path.
Right. Okay. And that's why he's telling me to stay with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Neil Reyes, and the gift of working.
What's the title of this one we get ready to listen to?
The working, not the working of miracles.
Discerning
of spirits. Is it discerning of spirits, Earl?
Huh?
The one we get ready to listen to?
Is gifts of healing.
Okay, gifts of healing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
It's called the gifts of healing. One of the things we've been doing is we started covering a new series last week on the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And each day we've been dedicating to each of the specific gifts. Now, as we've been doing that, one of the things that we've been teaching is that the purpose of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is for the edification or building up of the body of Christ. Now, some of these gifts also have external witness to the unsaved as well, but for the most part, their main purpose is for the building up of the body of Christ. In fact, one of the things we've been doing as we've been teaching is we've been discussing that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually the ministry and operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we teach on these nine gifts, one of the things we've discussed is that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the nine manifestation gifts, are actually broken up into three categories of three. We have the revelation gifts, we have the power gifts, and we have the inspiration gifts. Last week we covered the revelation gifts, which constituted of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And on Friday we finished with the power gift of faith. Yesterday we covered the power gift of working of miracles, and today we're covering the power gifts of healings. Now when we talk about these gifts, the reason why we break them down like this is so that you can understand each of their function and operation. One of the things I'll tell you is that as you grow and learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the things I've seen over my years in ministry is that whenever someone begins to learn a deep dive study like we're doing about each of the gifts, they eventually realize that some of these gifts have already been operating within their life. They just didn't know how to label them, or they didn't know what it was. They may have known that God was doing something, but they didn't know what it was called. And as people turn around and get educated around these gifts, With education comes confidence, and with confidence comes boldness to step out further in these gifts and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be used by these gifts. Now, if you don't feel you've received any of these gifts, that's okay. The reason why we're teaching about them is so that you can make yourself available to receive them. Now, it tells us in the Word that the Holy Spirit gives them to each as He wills. In other words, there's nothing you can do to earn them. However, there are things you can do to position yourself through right character within Christ to where you can be made available to be used by them. One of the things that you can do with that is by studying the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit as found in Galatians. As you grow in those characteristics, it will position you to be used greater by God. I will also tell you, it tells us in Isaiah 1:19 that if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You can't just be willing to want to receive these gifts. You also have to be obedient so that when Christ calls upon you or when He prompts you to operate in these gifts, that you'll be willing and obedient to operate in them. As we talk about this gift today, we want to get right into it because we got a lot of material to cover and a lot of good material to cover. But the one thing I want to point out that's probably the most significant about this gift is that out of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, out of all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're getting ready to cover with you, this is the only gift that is pluralized. In other words, it's gifts with an S at the end of it. That's plural. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And there's much significance in that. To actually believe that within this one gift, that there are multiple independent gifts that operate underneath the umbrella of the gifts of healing. So let's go ahead and go right into the Word. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is actually where it gives us the full list of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I want to take you to where it actually talks about the gift of healing. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're actually going to go down to verse 9. Let's read. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, to another, gifts, plural, of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. So, to another, gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. Now, when we talk about this, sometimes people say, well, Brother Neil, what do you mean by that there's individual gifts in the gifts of healing? Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, first of all, what this gift is, and then we're going to discuss its operation. The first thing I want to tell you is that when Jesus died on the cross, it tells us in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the death of Jesus, okay? And when he did, one of the things he said is that by my stripes you are healed. So when people say by his stripes, or the stripes what he took on the cross, is that the nails he took on the cross? No, that's not the nails he took on his cross. What the stripes are is when they turn around and beat and whipped him, when they flogged him before he turned around and went on the cross. So if we back up to the story of Jesus, one of the things we know is that the Jews were so mad and so angry at Jesus. They thought he was blaspheming and stuff, and they were so angry, and they had such a hard time accepting the truth because they had hardened their hearts towards it. So as they did that, one of the things was is they wanted Jesus to die. So at the time, the Romans gave him what they felt were their highest form of punishment they could give a person without them dying. We know this through history recordings, that this punishment was the highest form of punishment they would assign someone without dying. What it was called was the 40-1 lashings. You may have heard this in different church circles. Sometimes there's a little controversy over it. But it's called the 40-1. And basically what it means is that they whipped them 40 times minus 1. In other words, they whipped them 39 times. And the reason why they did that is because for the average person, and we know Jesus was not average, praise God, but for the average person, if they gave them the 40th lash, their body would sustain such shock from it that they would go into shock and die off it. And so instead of giving it as a death sentence, they'd give the 40-1, which is 39 lashes. Now some people say, well, how do you know that? Because it never says in the Bible what Jesus had. Well, it never talks about specifically Jesus getting 39 lashes, but we know from history recordings that that was their highest form of punishment. In fact, if you want to go with me real quick, if we go to 2 Corinthians 11:24, Paul later had these same lashings, and he talked about it. Let's read it real quick. 2 Corinthians 11:24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. So even he refers to them as stripes, 40 lashes minus 1. 39 lashes. Now, in medical science, long time ago, okay, in medical science, they were considered to be. They don't acknowledge it anymore because the world hates when they turn around and teach on something and find out that it's in the Bible. They just hate it because they think that the Bible's true.
Mm-mm-mm.
A long time ago, there was what was known as 39 super categories of the medical field. And these 39 super categories basically stated that every sickness, disease, illness, mental disorder, whatever, could be found underneath one of these main 39 categories. So when we talk about that by his stripes we're healed, it's no coincidence that the same number of stripes Jesus took is the same number of stripes for every one of those major medical categories that describes every sickness, illness, disease, mental disorder.
Amen.
By his stripes, we've been healed. We've been made whole. Praise God. So that's what it means by the stripes. Now that you know what it means by the stripes, and now that you understand that, let's go into the operation of how this gift operates. So when we talk about gifts of healings, now you know why. It's believed that there's up to 39 individual gifts that operate underneath this umbrella, and that when someone's prompted to operate in this gift, that they turn around and there's 39 major categories that they have the ability to operate in. Okay? Now, as you grow and are sensitive to this gift and you allow the Lord to move you, you'll grow in greater ways and be used in greater ways, and it's a powerful thing. Before I go forward, though, I want to talk about real quick. In the Bible, it lists to us that there are four primary ways to receive a healing. The first one is by finding a promise in God's word and standing upon it, praying it and confessing it in your life and speaking it into your life over and over, believing you've received that promise of healing within your life. That's the first way. The second way is when you go to a friend or a family member and you give them legal access, so to speak, to pray within your life. In other words, you go to them and you have them help you stand in the faith gap to bridge the faith gap for you, where you have them stand in agreement with prayer with you, standing on the scripture of the desired outcome. It's a prayer of agreement. They're standing in agreement with each other on that prayer and the outcome on that promise that you've been made healed, or made whole, that you've been healed. That being said, don't go pick someone that doesn't have any faith in healings. They might be great in finances, but when it comes to healings, well, I just don't know, brother. Don't pick that person who you know. Pray and have God lead you to that person. The third way is when people go to the elders or pastor of their church and they have them lay hands on them. That's why a lot of people think the only way to receive a healing is to have hands laid on them, and that's not necessarily the only way. That's actually the third way, okay, in the order here. And then your fourth way is by having someone who operates in the gifts of healings release a healing into you. Now, when I say release a healing into you, what do I mean by that? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go to our next scripture, and I'll talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just real quick for some preface, this is a story of Jesus, and when he's walking, Jairus had just come to him because he had a daughter that was around 12 years old, and she was sick, and she was dying, and so he asked Jesus if he would come and pray over her. And as he's going through a mighty crowd, and it's a picture of the front stage of a major concert where everybody's just pressed in each other, and as he's making it through the crowd, everyone's pressed in around him all around. And as he's on the way to Jairus' house, a woman with an issue of blood who had been sick for about 12 years herself comes up to him and receives a healing. Let's study it. It's out of Luke chapter 8, and we're going to go 42 through 48. Let's read. But as he went, the multitude thronged. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any came behind and touched the border of his garment. In other words, the edge of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, verse 46, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." It is so significant. There are so many significant things when we study healing within this verse. First of all, I've highlighted in white two different special parts. Jesus is pressed by all sides. Someone touches the edge of his garment. Who would normally feel that in a case like that? And yet he stopped. Because he didn't feel her touch the edge of his garment, what he felt was someone placed a demand for the healing anointing that was on his life, and he felt that release out of him. It says he said that. He perceived power going out from him. And when he did that, he knew someone had placed a demand on that healing. That is so significant and so important. Now, later it tells us that he told her, daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. In other words, when someone's operating in the gifts of healing, it's not like they got some superpower to just reach out and turn around and make someone whole. Yes, they have the ability to allow God when God prompts them in this. Okay, this doesn't always operate. But when God prompts them in this, yes, he can turn around and funnel his healing through that person, but that person has to be willing to place a demand on that anointing through their faith. Sometimes you have people say, well, if this gift operates all the time, then how come you just don't go to hospitals and just pray over everybody? Because that's not how the gift operates. I broke down to you the four ways to receive a healing from top to bottom, so to speak, or I should say most significant down to the gifts of healing. In other words, it's not that it's least significant, but that it's the order, okay? It's the order. God's a God of order, okay? And with that, this gift at times operates and other times it doesn't. Sometimes people say, well, why wouldn't God just want that to always operate? Why wouldn't he just send someone to the hospital and just make them heal everybody? Because not everybody wants to be healed. Now, some people don't like when I say that potentially. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm going to say not everybody wants to be healed. Or maybe people want to be healed, but there's laws, there's spiritual laws of faith around healing. You have to have faith for salvation. You also have to have faith for healing. And that's what we're studying. Now, we'll go into this in other teachings later on, okay? But this is a study where we're teaching you what the gift is, why it's important, and how to operate in it, or how it operates is what I should say. Now, as we also talk about this, one of the things this woman significantly did is after she received her healing, she declared it. She didn't turn around and say, well, I'm healed for now. We'll see if it comes back. No, she didn't go hide from it. She declared it. This is how the gifts of healing operates when it's operating as one of the power gifts of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it flows from you. Guys, I sure hope you enjoyed our study today. I just absolutely love this subject. And I love God's word in general, but I love this subject. It's such a powerful instruction and display of God's love and his building up of the body of Christ. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com and connect with us. In addition, you can find us on our social media at YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and share that. Help us share this word with others. If these teachings are meaning something to you and they're ministering to you, then share them with those around you. Share them on your social media feeds. Share them with your coworkers. Share them with your family members. You'll be surprised how easy it is to minister to your friends and how easy this opens up avenues of discussion for you to talk about the word. And if your friends are already saved, then praise God, this will help you to sharpen iron, because iron sharpens iron. Guys, in addition to that, if you have topics you'd like to learn about, we invite you to swing by our website and on our contact page. Shoot us a quick note. Tell us what topics or area you need some help with. We'll go before the Lord and pray about it, and as we're led, we'll teach on the subjects. Guys, thank you so much. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Praise the Lord. My.
Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah.
That was so powerful.
Yes.
Of healing. Y'all need to check out Neil Reyes again, and that's why I let the information about his website and how to get him on YouTube, just put in his name, Neil Reyes, because God has blessed this mighty teacher. See, God gave gifts to the church, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher.
Yes.
And he is a mighty teacher.
Hallelujah.
Most High God. He can give in 12 to 15 minutes, but a lot of preachers take 2 hours and you still don't know what they said.
Amen.
I thank God for his teaching, because every time I hear him, I get something new out of what he says.
Amen.
I hope you've gotten something out of what was shared today. And we're going to have a discussion on this. Any questions about what you just heard, the gifts of healing? Because
okay,
the Holy Spirit uses to have gifts of healings of our cancer. You got a broken leg, the Holy Spirit don't prompt them to pray for you. But if you have a diagnosis of cancer, the Holy Spirit will prompt them to pray for you. Gifts of healings, 39 of healings. That's amazing.
Yes, I keep you serious.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
Oh, well, that was okay. I was just saying there's four types of healings. One is found in his word, saying, find the word of God. And saying
yes.
It over and over again.
Yes.
The other one is standing in agreement.
Agreement.
For healing based on the word.
Uh-huh.
The other one is laying hands on.
That's the elders of the church. Yes.
The elders. And another one is a person a person
that's
that, you know, operates. A person
operates.
That operates in healing. Go.
The Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Okay.
And it was significant. I have to kind of look at it a little bit closer because it's significant that Jairus' daughter was 12, and this lady had issue of blood for 12 years. That's not a coincidence. Something there's a message in
numbers.
That. I'll deal with that later. But the idea is that you hook your faith. And that was supernatural faith. That was crazy faith to believe that you can be healed just by touching the hem of his garment. That's
yes.
Crazy faith.
And it always begins with you, right?
So, someone said something.
No, I just said it begins with you.
Yes.
What you believe in. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and God ain't going to use no dirty vessel.
I put it this way. We got to start off with, number one, look, the Holy Spirit will use you. Number one, you got to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have the Holy Spirit if you're not saved.
Amen.
And that's the starting point. And then something else that he shared is that you have to have a character to be able to receive those gifts of the Spirit. And it's probably one of my favorite scriptures, Galatians 5, 22 and 23,
mm-hmm.
Fruit of the Spirit. And it's real significant that the nine fruit of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and Genesis, God said nine times and the world came into being. That's interesting, you know. It is important for us to be in the right attitude to be used of God. Because some of us, if we have a talent, we may, I want to be seen by others that I got this. No, that's not the right attitude.
Mm-mm.
Your motive.
First thing
your motive.
And Galatians talked about our love.
Hallelujah.
You want the Holy Spirit to use you in one of these gifts so you can show God's love.
Thank you, Lord. And it's going to draw.
Hallelujah. And there's another thing that he said, that these gifts are for the edifying of the body of Christ, but also can be used as a witnessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to draw.
Because you use the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge really gets you. When you talk about this, what evangelist Margaret Pearson always talks about how I came out the library, got on the bus, and God used a word of wisdom through me to tell her name, a little bit about her family, that they had someone whose name was John who was sick but didn't want to go along with what was prescribed for him. He fought it, and it blew her mind because she had a relative, uncle named John, who was up. He was supposed to be getting fixed up medically, and he was fighting everything. But we spoke it out of a word of knowledge. And,
mm-hmm.
and she's been hooked up with us ever since. And she's the one that her warfare to us, and then others have come because of her.
Praise God.
It was a connection there. The Holy Spirit used that as a connection. Hallelujah. But that was the Holy Spirit using that.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Earl Berg using that. The Holy Spirit moving through. But God wants to do the same thing for all of us. Because the power and the anointing of God can show up, shown up.
Mm-hmm.
It can be faith extenders. So you think about it. Faith extenders. Glory to God. My. Hallelujah. The miracle of the axe head floating to the top of the water caused some folks to have faith. And God, because axe heads don't float. They go to the bottom and they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But Elisha caused the axe head, the act of being used by the Holy Spirit caused the axe head to float because the axe was borrowed. You know, and so he wanted to get back what was borrowed. He didn't want to lose it in the water. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to use all of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
To glorify
Amen.
Him and to minister to the people, to edify the body and be witnesses to the world. Hallelujah.
Iron sharpens iron. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I heard him say iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even with the gift, you know, and like I said, I just have that special gift because a strong example is like one time I went to the emergency room. My back was hurting me so bad. And so I was in there for hours and I finally got called back. Okay, to make a long story short, one doctor came in and she told me, she said, well, okay, you know, everything looks good. Everything came back. You know, we're going to let you go home later on, you know, tonight. Well, another doctor came in, and they told me, they said, well, we're going to admit you, you know. So I didn't say anything. The Lord said, don't say anything. Just go along with everything. So I did. So about 11 o'clock that night, they said, okay, we have a room for you. They took me up on the fifth floor, but remind you now, it's at night. So I'm laying there relaxed. I know I'm getting rolled somewhere, you know. They took me into the room. The room was just so lit up. I said, Lord, I'm going to stay here a couple of weeks because I'm looking at really relaxing as big as this room is, right? Okay. So when it was time for me to leave, listen to this. When it was time for me, one of the nurses was so mean, you know, her spirit was very, very mean. I wouldn't let her touch me. The head nurse said, will it be okay? I said, no. Okay. So when it was time for me to leave, I needed an ink pen. I left out my room to go to the nurse station to get an ink pen. But when I left out, I kept looking at all the rooms and the people in there. You could tell they were serious. These people was really serious. So I got the ink pen, went back in my room. And the nurse came back in there. I asked her, I said, what floor is this? The nurse told me this is ICU and ICNU unit. And this is why we cannot understand why you are on this floor. I said, God. But as I walked past all those rooms, when I went to get the ink pen, but when I walked back past all those rooms, I could see the light in those rooms. I said, see, this is how Jesus used me. He used me to get on that fifth floor to heal a couple of people that was up there.
Praise God.
And I had no business on that fifth floor whatsoever.
Praise God.
And he kept me up there for 4 days. And then when the doctor finally came in and told me I should have been home that night, he came up there with an attitude, talking about, why are you here? Why did they admit you? The only thing I looked at, I said, well, you know, I'm going to get discharged now, and I want to thank everybody for their service. because I knew what my purpose was. You didn't. Y'all didn't. But I did. And thank you, Jesus.
Well, we thank you for the words you shared, because they're faith extenders. God wants to use us. The Holy Spirit directs our path. We don't know what he's doing, but I'm going to tell you, God shows up and shows off when we have a willing heart. When we have...
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have a desire to please him. Any other comments about tonight? Any other questions about hallelujah, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, and supernatural faith? Hallelujah. Well, we thank you all for being on the call tonight. Remember, tomorrow night is our hallelujah, glory to Wednesday International Victory Service. And definitely call that 515-602-9787 number to join us in service on tomorrow. And, of course, Sunday, we will not have a live service. There will be a service at 3 o'clock, but it will be from the archives. And we wish you all a safe, joyous, happy, Merry Christmas, because Jesus is the reason for the season. God loves us that he sent his son that we might be saved and have eternal life. Hallelujah. And God bless you all. Thank you all. We pray a special blessing over everyone on the call, every family represented, everyone that missed the Bible study they're usually on. We pray for them as well. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, you have any last words before we pray?
Continue to stay in the Word and continue to keep that our praying in the Spirit activated. And that, I think each week, the different thing, tools that you have been giving us, and we building on top of one another, I think they all play a part for us to be, I guess, to be strong and to be used of the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Used of God.
Yes. And next week will be the conclusion of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Will be the inspiration gifts, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. So join us next Tuesday for service, for our Bible study. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, we do thank you for what our ears have heard and felt. We thank you, Lord, for your revelation, wisdom, and knowledge in our hearts, bursting forth with, hallelujah, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We praise your name for this. We thank you, Lord, for meeting the needs of every listener and the families they represent. We thank you, Lord, for giving us super abundantly above. And we thank you, Lord, for harvest on the seed sown tonight. 360, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing.
Hallelujah.
And we praise your name. We glorify your name. We honor your name. We exalt your name in Jesus' name. And the Bible class says, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
See you tomorrow morning, 6:55, 7 o'clock a.m.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
A few hours.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Love you. God loves you.
Amen.
What can you do about it?
Praise God.
See you in the morning.